Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, you might like to open them to Luke, please. I think we know this story very well, but my question this morning is, have we really, like Mary, stood in wonder of this incredible message? Or have we just let it float over our head year after year? Oh, we know this Christmas story and we've forgotten how amazing it is. We wander through a shopping centre and we hear songs being played, we see stuff, and we think, oh, the world has distorted Christmas. But in fact, have we missed, have we distorted Christmas? Have we missed what's gone on? What is the biggest life-changing message you have ever received? Now, this, I'm sure, for Mary, was the most incredible thing she had ever, ever heard. You are going to have a baby. And so she says, this cannot happen. I'm a virgin, I've never been with a bloke. And the angel says, no, this is a whole different story. I have to say that we had two daughters and we thought number three would be good in the back seat. And Helen came home from an ultrasound and said, guess what? There's twins. Oh. Righto, there's twins. One of the ladies in our church at Lilydale, she thought she and her husband had taken precautions to not have any more children. And one day she knocked on my study door. I opened the door. G'day, Dorothy, how are you? Colin, we're having twins and we're having Chinese food for tea. That's all she could think of. I think, oh no, twins, how do I cope? Chinese food for tea. So that was Dorothy's ability to cope. But angels are an important part of the whole Christmas story. In a prelude, an angel had come to Zechariah and said that he and his wife were going to have a baby. That would be John the Baptist, which was an incredible, incredible message. He says, look, I'm an old man. This is God we're dealing with here, the God of the impossible. Gabriel comes to Mary and the same sort of situation. Then to the shepherds. And then a bit later on in their life, they're told, Joseph, go to Egypt. And so angels are there all the time. Now, angels are not people. We might say to our children, oh, you're a little angel. But we know that that child hasn't suddenly developed wings and feathers. We know that it's perhaps the behaviour, angelic, what we call angelic behaviour. And so it is that a human doesn't suddenly become an angel. No. A human is a human, an angel is a created being by God, and a special messenger. But this is the context of Christmas, the joy Elizabeth is expecting. And then Mary hears the news, and so she goes to spend some time with her cousin. So, there in verse 38, in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, there's a message comes. And isn't this an incredible response? What would your response be? Mary said, I am a handmaid, or I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. The Living puts it like this. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to do whatever he wants. And may everything you said come true. Oh, aren't they just incredible words? Mary's just been told she's going to have a baby. She doesn't collapse or jump around, or she just said, "That's okay. I'm a follower of the living God, so whatever he wants to do, that's okay." Friends, that's us, isn't it? We are followers of the living God. So when he says something, don't we all just say, "That's all right. Whatever you want to do, God, that's okay with me." That really, in a way, is what Christmas is about. It's a reaffirmation of us saying, "God, I affirm who you are. I affirm Jesus is Lord. And what I want to say is, whatever you want to do in my life or with me, that's okay, because you are Lord." Now, Mary then moves into this beautiful song, psalm, whatever we want to say. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she says, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." We all know what magnifying means. We've got a magnifying glass. It makes things bigger. So in a sense, Mary is saying, "My soul just wants to make God bigger." Well, that's how I understand it. Just in anything I do, I want to make God bigger, not me. Not me. "And I rejoice in God my Saviour." Like, is Christmas a rejoicing time, or is it, "Oh, not again. Oh, out with the decoration. Oh, are you sure a whole year's gone by?" Yeah, Christmas is really a time for us to glorify God and rejoice in the coming of Jesus. Now, again, isn't it sad that we have so brought Christmas down? I said on Thursday at Brighton Light that in the Rolfs household, we've done different things with Christmas trees, but one year we just had a couple of sticks sticking out of a pot in the place where we have our Christmas tree. And if anyone sort of looked and thought, "What are they doing?" Well, we would just say, "This is what we've done to Christmas. We've really taken away the real meaning." So how do we celebrate? What do we do that's different? Different from anyone else because we're believers or followers of Jesus. How do we magnify Jesus at Christmas? How do we rejoice in his spirit? Jill said that every Christmas day they always sing "Happy Birthday to Jesus," and some of you would probably do that too. But this is Mary's response, and this is a bit of a model for us. "My soul magnifies or glorifies God, and my spirit rejoices." How wonderful. Adoration, joy, celebration. This is Mary. And then she goes on to say, "For he has regarded the low estate," or the lowliness, "of this servant." How wonderful. He's considered this nobody and has, as it were, bestowed on me the greatest honour that could ever be. It's sort of like a prayer that says, thank you for what you have done. You have given me this great honour and you've regarded me, I'm a little nobody woman, and look what you have done. So, friends, we can no longer say, "I'm a nobody," once God touches our lives. I am not a nobody anymore. I am a child of God. How wonderful that is. How wonderful. If Christmas means nothing more, surely it means the celebration of the fact that we are children of God. Isn't that enough to say whatever we want to say in celebration? But isn't that enough for us to be able to say that. How wonderful. Mary doesn't back off. And she just goes on to talk about the qualities of God. In verse 49, depending on your translation, God is the mighty Holy One. He has done great things. Holy is his name. And then verse 50, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. This is the character of our God, isn't it? The God who is mighty, the God who is holy, the God who is merciful. What a trio to put together. Mighty, merciful, and holy. This is our God. This is the God she worships. The power of God we've seen in creation, but the power of God we've seen in his transforming of our lives. Last week, Matthew spoke. Now, that was Matthew's first sermon ever. And I wish he'd just gone back over the things that he said, because I think, if I'm right, he said he'd be divorced, he'd be in jail, he'd be going to hell. And I wish he'd stopped and then repeated that, because we could have had a sermon on each bit. But, as Matthew said, the miracle of God is that he transforms a heart of stone into a heart of flesh and then allows a response to him. And surely that's the power of our God, isn't it? That we could all say he's done something in our lives. Yep, we might have been low, miserable, whatever, like Mary, just unworthy, and yet he's shown his power in that way. What about his holiness? Everything that is pure and noble and godly. And again, how amazing that he can change us, unworthy people, into people who have the holiness or the righteousness of God. Wonderful. And if we put the power of God and the holiness of God together, we might tremble. And then in comes his mercy. Oh, his mercy. It's an unusual word, isn't it, really? Not often heard outside of Christian circles, I don't think. But in comes the mercy of God, who, against the power of God and the holiness of God, where we would say, how on earth can we cope? In comes the mercy of God at Christmas and brings Jesus and says, belief in him is my provision at this stage. Friends, there is so much to celebrate in the beauty of Jesus. Now, we come to a bit of an odd thing here, because when we get to verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm, he's shattered, and there are a number of things here in these few little verses that are actually put in the past tense, but they haven't come about yet. And that sometimes happens with prophecy in Scripture, because people are so sure that it's going to happen. So, what does he say here? What he has done? He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty, he exalted those of low, he's filled the hungry, and the rich he sent empty away. So we say, no, that hasn't happened. Hang on a minute. We look around the world, that hasn't happened with the coming of Jesus. There are people starving. There are still people who are wealthy and rich, and there are people who are poor. There are still people who are arrogant. And what's actually happened? Well, Mary here, as I said, is talking in a language which is often prophetic in Scripture. So sure are the prophets, and so sure is Mary of what is going to happen, that she is able to say, with the coming of Jesus and with the coming of the Lord the next time, this is what will happen. And so, friends, we have that confidence too. We have the confidence to say, yes, this will happen. He has spoken. He has helped the servant Israel. Verse 54, he has spoken to our fathers. And because God has spoken, and as Ian said, he has fulfilled up to this point, of course he's going to fulfill the rest. There's no doubt on the basis of what's happened, there's no doubt about the future. People can break their word. We saw that in Nehemiah. We saw how God was doing wonderful things and yet people didn't quite cotton on. But God can't break his word. So we can all sing this wonderful song of Mary. God has done wonderful things to us. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, he is holy. But at the same time, he has come with his mercy to minister to each one of us. Now, if we continue the story of Mary, we just ask, I wonder what she really thought as she went through life. As she brought up Jesus, I wonder what she thought. The Bible says, these things she pondered in her heart. I wonder what she pondered in her heart. Have you ever thought in your heart and in your mind things about God? Why has God done this? Or what is God doing here? Or how is this happening? Well, some things we don't have answers for, and we might never have answers for. And then as she comes right through life, she's one of those women at the cross, and there is her son. Now, it's possible that Christmas isn't a happy time for everyone. For some people, there's a reflection on family or friends who have died. And some of you have perhaps had children who have died. And so it's not necessarily a happy time, but a reflective time for you. So friends, as we ponder things in our heart, as Mary pondered in her heart, might we not only think and shed some tears, and that's okay, but may we also ponder the greatness of God, because this is how Mary responded. Even though I'm overwhelmed with this incredible message, and you've had messages in your life that have overwhelmed you, even though I'm overwhelmed by this message of having a child, I will magnify God because I know who he is. Now, news may be to you sad or happy, but in either situation, let us be people who magnify God and who look at God and then bring our circumstances to him so that it comes in the light of who he is. A God of power, a God of holiness, but a God of great mercy and compassion. This is the God we have welcomed in Jesus. This is the birth we celebrate, the Son of God coming to us. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you for this Lady Mary who simply responded in what we might call a profound and yet simple way. Obviously, she had an awareness of who you were, and her heart responded, Father, whoever you are, do what you want. Whatever you want to do with me, that's okay, because I trust you. And so our prayer this morning, Father, as we face Christmas, may it be that our soul magnifies the Lord. May our spirit rejoice in Jesus, our hope. May we celebrate the reality of the coming of the Saviour. And may our God, who is powerful and holy, continue to show us his great mercy and love. And Father, may you find in us people who say, Yes, Lord, do it unto me, for I am one of your children. I willingly obey. May this Christmas be a time for us to celebrate in a real way the birth of Jesus, for we pray in his name. Amen.